All right, technically it's not Thursday, it's actually Tuesday, but we're doing our Thursday show this week, so Thursday means Mr. Versatile, Larry Mayer, slides in from ChicagoBears.com, the senior writer there, for his weekly visit here. And before we get to the whole balance thing here, I mentioned before the break, is it time yet offensively, whether you know the Bears legitimately think they're still in playoff contention or not, to maybe start digging a little bit deeper into the depth chart? Are you expecting to see maybe a Kadeem Carey or a Charles Leno, or maybe even Marquise Wilson in more regular formations get a few more snaps and see what they can do in games that are still meaningful here?
I really don't, Chris, not at this point. I think on defense, they're already playing a lot of young players. If you look at it, last week's game, there were six rookies on the field, plus DeMontre Hurst. Offensively, I don't see a lot of Kadeem Carey being included in formations. He's been playing a little bit here and there. Obviously, they're going to run the ball more than they did last week, so we could see him in a few more occasions. As far as a seventh-round pick like Charles Leno, no, I don't expect to see him either.
You know, it would make sense if you had maybe a couple more losses, and then you'd start looking at that.
Right.
But right now, you know, you're not at the point where you're ready to throw the white flag in. And I know it's not, you know, sometimes it looks like that way to people, but it's really not when you try to play the rest of these guys. So you have to find out something about them in preparation for the offseason and what you might want to do with them next year. But right now, I don't think guys like Matt Forte are very interested in what the guy's standing behind him.
And you know he wants to carry the ball.
He wants to carry the bill, man.
It's not only that. If you look at the top rookies and top young players on this team in terms of development, these are guys that are on the defensive side of the ball. They went draft heavy on defense this year, and those guys are all playing right now if you look at it. Mm-hmm. If you look at the first-round pick in Kyle Fuller, if you look at Ego Ferguson, Will Sutton, Brock Vereen, these guys are all on the field playing very important reps. Some of them are even starting in the game. So they're getting a good opportunity to see what they can do. And also they're gaining valuable experience. Now the defense needs to play a little bit better, and I think that'll improve things for the future.
You know, you look at the offensive line, Chris. You know, you look at how many guys we've gone through there during the course of the season.
It's been a turnstile.
It really has been. So, you know, I think in a lot of cases, the guys who maybe are not rookies or first-year guys, but backup guys, they got plenty of opportunity to play. All they had to do was stay healthy, and they'd be the next guy up.
Right.
Last year, the Bears, as you know, started the same five guys all 16 games. This year, in 12 games, they've had seven different offensive line combinations.
Yeah, five guys. That makes me hungry. But let's talk a little bit. After Thanksgiving game, too. Before we get to the balance that Dallas exhibits offensively, let's talk about the balance that the Bears want more of this week and how you attack this Dallas defense led by Rod Marinelli right now.
Well, you know, I think everyone is in agreement that the Bears need to be more balanced and run the ball more. We heard nothing but that yesterday in talking to the coaches and the players. The Bears are familiar with this type of defense, given that Rod Marinelli was here for several years. It's a cover two. It's similar to what Tampa Bay played against them. They want you to throw the ball short. They want you to be patient and dink and dunk down the field. They're trying to challenge you to go deep. You do have to be patient, but yet you do have to try to establish the run. I fully expect them to come out and try to establish the run with Matt Forte. They were successful in that pursuit last year against Dallas when Josh McCown threw four touchdown passes and ran for a fifth. Bears scored 45 points in that game.
It's not like we haven't seen this defense before. And it's not like we haven't seen this defense, this, you know, cover twos from Tampa, get sizzled by opposition offense. We've seen them take some beatdowns in this defense. So that's what I'm talking about. Look, you know, instead of looking at the negative of this situation, let's look at the positive and what can come out of running the ball.
Right. Running the ball is important. And also the cover two, as you know, is also susceptible to be beaten over the middle seam routes. But the Bears didn't do a lot of that against Tampa Bay. I was a little surprised about that.
The only thing to save them with the seam routes was Brian Urlacher, with the speed to drop and get back and knock off those seam routes. Because you remember, it was some of the most exciting plays that Brian made here were those of total athleticism and the ability to make that move. Most middle linebackers couldn't do it.
Absolutely. And the Cowboys now, they lost Sean Lee, so you expect them to be susceptible to those type of plays. But they brought in Rolando McClain, a guy who was retired after being with the Raiders and the Ravens. And now he's completely resurrected his career. It's really an amazing story. He's second in tackles. He's been making a lot of plays, but he doesn't have the speed that Brian Urlacher has. So there should be some availability over the middle for Martellus Bennett and maybe some of the running backs like Forte.
Yeah, and that, by the way, that Dallas defense allowed 256 yards on the ground in that Thanksgiving Day game against the Eagles. They're looking to rebound in a big way as well. Now, when we talk about Dallas offensively, you know, multiple weapons there. Kyle Fuller is going to be going up against a huge receiver once again. And plus, they have the NFL's leading rusher in DeMarco Murray. So whoever's out there from a linebacker standpoint and on the back end, they're going to have to be ready for the balance. That, and I think Tony Romo's going to look a little better this week, having a full week to rest that back. He looked a little creaky against the Eagles with the back only 3 days off.
I think we all looked a little creaky on Thanksgiving, but you're absolutely right, Chris. I mean, the Bears have played Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers this year, but this is a completely different type of challenge in that Dallas can run the ball and pass the ball. It's a very balanced attack. The Cowboys have not had success the last 3 years, finishing 8-8 all 3 years because they haven't been able to run the ball. DeMarco Murray this year is having a career year. He has over 1,400 yards, and he has over 400 yards more than any other running back in the league. And like you said, they have a great wide receiver, they have a great tight end, and a really good offensive line with three first-round draft picks. So very balanced, very difficult to defend.
That's another key to the investment that Dallas made in the offensive line, the top picks. Now, Chris and I were talking before the show. I was watching the show the other day on the dominant Dallas Cowboys, you know, the Jerry Jones era. Back in the day.
Right.
And one of the things that was made clear was the strength of that offensive line and that offensive line's ability to get off the line of scrimmage, remove you from the line of scrimmage with some big guys up front that were absolute road graders. And if you want to talk about how you're successful in this league, that's what you need.
Right.
You don't need position blocking. You need some guys to get some folks off the football. They got some guys that upstairs that can get that done. But the thing is, you have to turn the key.
You're talking Larry Allen and Nate Newton back in the day, and Mark Stepanowski.
That's right.
But, yeah, Tyron Smith is an excellent left tackle. He's going to be matched up against Jared Allen. That's going to be really interesting to watch how that plays out.
Let's go back to the defensive side for Dallas, and Rod Marinelli was here for a number of years, and quite the character, and would inspire and fire up his guys with certain film clips and things like that. What are some of your memories of what Rod Marinelli, crusty old codger but a wise one too, brought to the table here?
I loved Rod Marinelli. Still love Rod Marinelli. Obviously, it was great working with him. I would just go into his office and talk to him football sometimes. He had all these inspirational quotes up, a book about Abraham Lincoln. He had a picture, a black and white picture I asked him about. It was his old high school football coach looking very dignified, wearing a suit on the sideline. And he was just going on and on about how important and how much that guy respected football. And I know players respected the heck out of him. And Rod was a character as well, like you said. He would mix in the tapes that they showed the defensive linemen, wild animals attacking other wild animals. And it was some incredible stuff. But he was a unique guy. And I know a lot of the players all loved playing for him. Henry Melton's a perfect example. He loved playing for him here in Chicago. He really pushed him. And he's down in Dallas excelling, leading the Cowboys with 5 sacks.
Yeah, I really thought that, frankly, when things changed here from a coaching perspective, I really thought that he might be a holdover a la Buddy Ryan type situation when Buddy stayed here when Mike took over.
The only difference is that him and Lovie Smith were best friends growing up in coaching. They were
Buddy
roommates.
And Mike weren't best friends?
I don't think so, no. They were roommates down in Tampa, so basically as soon as Lovie was gone, Rod was gone as well.
Before we let you go, what is your sense? I mean, the times we've been in the locker room over the past several weeks after some very difficult losses, the locker room seems like a pretty loose, upbeat place. What is your sense of the mood in inside those four walls, the time at least we're allowed in there?
You know what? I would agree with you. I think there's disappointment and there's frustration over what's happened, but I don't think anyone's feeling sorry for themselves. And I would say upbeat is the word to use. They're confident in themselves. These are professional athletes. It's different now that the playoffs are virtually not a possibility anymore, but they're still very motivated and have a lot of incentive, especially playing a team like the Dallas Cowboys. The Bears' next two games are on national TV. They know they're the only game that's going to be on. People might not think it's a big deal, but they know when everyone else is watching them, in terms of their peers, they want to perform well. And so I think there's still motivation. Again, they're disappointed, but they're motivated.
Yeah, you want to show out, show what you got, because if you think that everybody around the country is watching, they are.
Those island games,
I think Jared Allen said it best when he said, "I don't want to be the guy to let my team down."
Mm-hmm. He's our prime time. Larry Mayer, senior writer for ChicagoBears.com.